Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today you heard Pastor Dixon read a story about a man who has been in the same place for 38 years. And it got me thinking about what was happening in my life 38 years ago and how long that span is. Many of you aren't even 38 years old, so you know 38 years is a long time. And I found it interesting to note a few things. 38 years ago, I was basking in the joy of the Minnesota Twins World Series win that had happened just a few months before. And I thought about the changes between then and now. We haven't had a whole lot more championships since then, so there's been a change. 38 years ago, I went on a trip that introduced me to the Lutheran Volunteer Corps that at the time I didn't know would change my life, but it completely changed my life as an adult and transformed me for the best, I hope. And 38 years ago, my 8-year-old brother was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, which you may think that's an odd thing to mention, but I have a very memorable story that happened when this diagnosis took place. We took my brother to a movie, and my dad was particularly protective about my brother's diabetes numbers, because you know it's life and death. It's very tricky. If you're too low or too high, you go into different reactions. So he would bring snacks wherever he went. Well, when we went to the movie theater, they had a sign that said, no outside snacks. And my dad made the argument, but my son has diabetes. He needs these for his health, in case for stabilizing his blood sugar. And they said, I'm sorry, the rule's the rule, no outside snacks. And my dad pushed harder, and you know, it just went back and forth. And it made me realize that arguing about rules and laws is something that we humans innately do. It also taught me that sometimes when we abide by the rules for rules' sake alone, or our own righteousness or fears, we miss the rule's larger purpose, which is to bring and protect life. Laws and rules are created to usher in and maintain life, and life is the purpose of the Gospel of John. The thesis of the Gospel of John is this. We share these stories in the Gospel of John, but many more about Jesus are known. But the ones that are shared are written so that we would continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, we may have life in his name. So it's really all about life. Today's gospel points to that life, and it has two significant parts. First, the healing of the man who's been sitting at the side of the pool for 38 years, and second, the concern with breaking the law by healing on the Sabbath. Jesus has made his way to Jerusalem and to the pools at Bethesda, which are believed to have healing powers. Each of the people that sat outside these pools sat there with the hope that they would benefit in some way from the pool's healing grace. It is here that Jesus encounters this man who has been waiting for 38 years, and Jesus calls him, sees him first of all, which I think is so important, and then calls him out by asking him a question that is relevant to us all. Do you want to be made well? Simple. A question to which the answer seems obvious. Why wouldn't he want to be made well? He has been sitting in the very same place for 38 years, simply trying to get into the pool so that he would be made well. So my thinking is something else was triggered in this man when Jesus asks the question. Because the man gives all sorts of reasons for why he has not yet been made well. He tells Jesus, well, nobody takes me to the water when the water is stirred up. People elbow their way and jump in line ahead of me. He proves to Jesus that, yes, he wants to be made well, but there are just obstacles that are beyond his control that seem to get in the way. So Jesus' question confronts him and asks him to look at something beyond what his own eyes can see. The man thinks that Jesus is talking about the pool and the barriers of getting to the pool, but Jesus is talking about something more. Something beyond the physical elements. Jesus is turning him to the power of the gospel. The one thing that Jesus came for, to heal this man and to heal all of us and to set us free. So Jesus asks him, do you want to be made well? And he asks us the same thing, and we may not want to answer it. Because in asking that question, we're acknowledging that somewhere in our lives, we are not well. It's a challenging question for all of us. We get defensive or employ whatever protective mechanisms that might prevent us from true healing. So when Jesus asks us this question, we are challenged. And Jesus shifts that energy quickly. And he says to this man, pick up your mat. And in that moment, we see the distinction between what Martin Luther would call law and gospel, or what Dietrich Bonhoeffer would call cheap grace versus costly grace. Bonhoeffer said, cheap grace is grace as forgiveness without repentance. It is grace without discipleship. It is sort of like a get-out-of-jail-free card that justifies one's sin without changing the actions of the person who has done the sinning. On the opposite side, costly grace is a call to follow Jesus. Costly grace invites us to surrender, to trust God, and even personally sacrifice in ways that Jesus did for us on the cross. Martin Luther once said, the law says do this, and we try, and yet it's never done. Grace says believe this, and everything is already done. Rather than sit paralyzed beside the pool, doing the things the way he's used to doing them out of safety or control or comfort, Jesus commands him to pick up his mat. And in picking up his mat, he is saying yes to Jesus' call. Jesus' call takes him to a place that he probably wouldn't have chosen for himself. But Jesus' call takes him to a place that promises new life. We're all favored to look at safer, more comfortable and familiar places, and we too, when doing so, remain on our mats. But the man in John's gospel that we hear about today risks it, and he shows us in risking it the way to true life. In fact, the Greek word that is used in this passage in Jesus' command to pick up his mat and rise is the same word that is used in the Gospel of John to describe resurrection. So this man who has been sitting in this very same place for the last 38 years is literally raised to new life. Which brings me to the second part of the story. The new life given to this man by Jesus does not follow the protocol of the religious systems put in place, and the religious leaders feel threatened by and suspicious of this man, Jesus. The problem for them was this man was healed. He picked up his mat on the Sabbath, the one day of rest intentionally set aside for worship and restoration, the day that nothing is to be done in the Jewish faith. This man takes up his mat on the Sabbath, and Jesus heals on the Sabbath. So they wonder, if Jesus is truly a prophet, why would he break this rule? Why would he heal on this day? The religious leaders were so sure to follow the right ways and the perfect practices that they had forgotten God's intent for Sabbath, which is to heal, which is to bring wholeness, which is to restore us in right relationship with God. Many of you probably know this, and if you don't, it's a very cool thing to know. Our own Pastor Grandgard used to be a pastor in Jerusalem with her family for many years. She shared with me this past week that there is a Hebrew term that supersedes anything in Jewish culture, and that term is pekach nefesh. Pekach nefesh means to preserve a life or a soul. Pekach nefesh means that life must be preserved, Life must be maintained, even if it means breaking the law. This means that one can't pass by a person in need of healing or of life, even if it breaks a rule. We've seen a lot of bantering back and forth about laws and about who's right and what's right in our community lately. A lot of trying to justify ourselves based on our adherence to what we believe is correct. And that's to be expected because, as in my brother's diabetes story, that's what the law does. It convicts us, it challenges us, it demands, it proves, it allows us to think our ways might be right, but it also makes us think that maybe we could learn something. Because the law never meets God's standard of life on its own. It is Christ alone that gives that gift. And it is a gift of righteousness, a gift of freedom, a gift of justice, a gift of life. These are all given to us by God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who came to be one of us, who offered us the grace that only Jesus can give, and who promises to bring us true and abundant life. In that spirit of love and grace and freedom, we then are called to pick up our mats and walk too. Jesus asks this man, "Do you want to be made well?" It's a good question. And know that Jesus shows you the way. Thanks be to God. Amen.